Last night I gave out a yellow piece of paper. Not that that is anything special, but if you didn't get a yellow piece of paper, raise your hand and I'll give you one. Just a few things, and maybe you've heard these things already because some of you have been here for 2 weeks already. So you've heard things about Uncle Hans and how this year we were just taking some time to remember the things that he taught us, that God through him spoke to us. Uncle Hans was the founder of this camp and the pastor at the Ridgewood Pentecostal Church, the head of the Ridgewood Fellowship for many years. And it was 50 years ago that he went home to be with the Lord. So we wanted to remember the things that God taught us through him and through his life. And so that little booklet that you got last night, now did everyone receive one of these? Who didn't get one of these truths we cherish? So these are some readings that the staff has been doing, but we made enough copies. Brother Paul was kind enough to make copies for all of us, so each one of us should have one of those books. And again, those are sayings or quotes that from Uncle Hans's sermons. There's also another book that I don't know, did they get these or they get them when they leave? Or
the guests get them right away, the staff when they leave.
Okay, so did everyone of the guests get one of these? All right, you have to see Brother Paul. This is my copy and I'm not giving it to you. But make sure you get one of these. It's just a story of his life. Sister Edith Blumhofer put that together. And so as I was thinking about our time here at camp, I only have a few mornings with you. This week, and then some of you or many of you go home, and then other people come, and that's another group of people. And so we only have 4 mornings together. And so I thought of Uncle Hans and his ministry. And I was only a little boy when he went to be with the Lord. I was, I guess, six or seven years old. My only real memory of him, 2 memories I have, is my grandparents, the Oles, attended the Ridgewood Church. Johnny Ole and Martha Ole and Aunt Dottie. And sometimes on Sunday night, they would babysit me while my parents went to the Williamsburg Church. My dad, Brother Gordon, Sister Martha were the pastors at the Williamsburg Pentecostal Church. And so I would have the opportunity to ride with the Schmitz in their car, and Grandma would say, "Put on the heat." And then she... anyway, I'm sorry, I digress, but in the car, and we'd get to Ridgewood, and I was young enough, I would just kind of be under the benches, and I would hear Uncle Hans. I can't say I remember too much of those days, but I do remember visiting him in the faith home shortly before he passed away. He had been sick for some time, and so the Wednesday afternoon release time group, I was part of that. Sister Nora Bennett would pick me up in her little Volkswagen Bug and take me to Ridgewood. And but that's that Monday or that I'm sorry that Wednesday, we went to visit Uncle Hans in the faith home, and we knocked at his door, second floor, and he opened the door, and then we sang for him. And I remember being right in the front. And singing, I don't remember what we sang, but that was the last time that we saw him, or I saw him. I do also have memories of being in the faith home as a family. My father had 7 brothers, and so we were quite a large family. And Uncle Hans would have us over occasionally at the faith home for a dinner or something like that to get the family together. And always part of that was to go down the basement and we would watch our gang videos or movies, you know. And he was always good at making sure that we knew that we could laugh and that you could be happy as a Christian. Did you know that? That you can smile, all right? And that you can be happy because that's what Jesus wants. He made a statement like this. He said, "Dumps are the devil's generals." So are you in a dump? Do we get into dumps? Well, he wanted to make sure that I think our sister talked a little bit about that, those pity parties that we have, and he didn't want that. He had experienced that in his own life. I think one of the first meetings he was in Zion, he says, the topic of this inner life, deeper life meeting was dumps. And he said, I didn't like it because I was in one. And yet God used that to speak to him and give him victory over that. And so how thankful we are for these teachings and practical application of the truth that is in the Word of God. And so the paper that you have in front of you has this, just this thought, Jesus Christ is all I need. We sang this morning, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. And do you see that? Jesus Christ is all I need. I think that was his message or one of the themes. He focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything centered about Christ and Christ's finished work and what Christ has done for us and what Christ would like to do in us and through us and manifest himself to us. And so here's a quote. I'll read it to you. It says, do you know the man Christ Jesus? It's on the paper there, that yellow paper. So if you want to follow, do you know that he is the way, the truth, the life? He is reality. He is holiness. He is righteousness. He is health for your body. So you forgive me if I have but one message. You and I need not a lot of things about heaven, not a lot of things about power, not a lot of things about spirituality. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And that was his one message, delight thyself also in the Lord. And so I thought it would be good for us to consider Jesus in these four morning worships. And we're going to consider Jesus as our Savior, and Jesus as our healer, and Jesus as our baptizer with the Holy Ghost, and Jesus as our coming King, our Lord and Master. That's who he is. And he wants to make himself more real and precious to us. And so this morning we'll begin with this sort of thought of Jesus being our Savior. But first, I wanted to just just call your attention to, just real briefly, something that blessed me. When I received the book, I had already thought about what I'd like to share with you. And then I found here on page 46, there's a little announcement of one of Brother Hans's or Uncle Hans's evangelistic meetings. And so here's what it says. It says, it's very small, that's why I have to take off my glasses. I'm sorry. It says, Evangelist Hans Waldvogel will speak on timely topics. A full salvation, divine healing, baptism of the Holy Spirit, and soon coming of Jesus Christ. So again, I'm not Uncle Hans, but these were the truths. The fundamental, you might say, the fundamental truths that we need to know about our salvation. Now, when we talk about salvation, I think sometimes we limit it to the time that we all knelt at the cross and we asked Jesus to come into our hearts. And I think if I went around the room, each one of us could tell me or you could testify to a time that you first came and knelt at the cross and said, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive my sins. You know, my first experience of that was right in this room. We used to have our Sunday morning meetings here. Instead of down, that was before that nice lodge down in the village was built. This was the biggest room. And so Sunday mornings was here. It was filled to the back. And Brother Roy Olson was the head counselor that year. And he spoke in that meeting. I don't remember what he said, but I know that somehow conviction gripped my heart and I knew that I needed to be saved. And so it was right in this place that the Holy Spirit dealt with me about salvation, that I need a Savior, that I'm a sinner. I was only 6 years old, my first year in the cottage. And after that Sunday morning, he took us into the library. There was a number of us that had responded to that invitation. And he took us there and he explained to us, again, what it meant to give my heart to Jesus, to have my sins forgiven, that there was a Savior who died for me. And so sometimes when we think of salvation, we equate it to that day when we first opened our hearts to Him, when we knelt at the cross and asked Him to forgive us. But I believe salvation covers our entire Christian, if you want to say it that way, life and experience. And salvation extends into heaven. I mean, that's the end. That's the end of your salvation. That's the fulfillment. That's the culmination. That's the completion. And everything in between, Jesus saves us. Healing is part of salvation. Dad would say it this way when he talked about John, the man in, I think it's John 3, at the beautiful gate. You remember that story? I'm sorry, Acts 3. And how Peter and John said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." Well, he said that man got salvation in his ankles. And if you need a touch in your body, well, God has salvation for you. It's part of the atonement. Someone testified, I think our sister Hildegard said that, how thankful she was that healing was part of the atonement. By His stripes, we are healed. But I write, I give you a paper to help me stay on track. So let's get back to the thought of Jesus as our Savior this morning. I think some of these verses are familiar to us, but just the verse in Acts before we again go into the lesson, it says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." And I think if you listen to the ministry of Uncle Hans, there's a website actually, and I don't know if you know that. Did you know there's an Uncle Hans website? No? Okay, so then write it down. You can listen to this on your iPhone. Did you know that? It's www.hanswaldfogel.com. Simple. And if you go there, and there's sermons from years ago, and you can listen to those and be blessed. I tell the story. I know those of you who have been with me, you say, "He always says the same thing." Well, I'm sorry if I do. But when I was younger, I was going to college. I was riding the trains in those days, the subways. Anybody ride the New York City subway? Yeah? Well, I used to go to college on the subway, and sometimes. And I can remember having a Walkman. Remember what those are, John? Walkman? Yeah. Walkman. And I would have Uncle Hans tapes. And First Love. And I would play that over and over again and listen to that as I was on the train, and different ones of his sermons. And you don't have to carry a Walkman around. You can just listen on your iPhone or on the internet or whatever phone you have, and just be blessed by the ministry. But there was the whole counsel of God. That's my point. It was the whole counsel of God. And you say, "Well, he just had one message." Yes, because Jesus Jesus, the preaching of Christ, the preaching of the cross, is the whole counsel of God. And so Matthew 1:21. I don't know if you have to look there. What does that tell us? What do you find in Matthew 1? Now, I hope you have your Bibles or a Bible.
"You will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins."
The angel brought that message to Joseph in a dream. This child that Mary is carrying has been conceived of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. And what does that name Jesus mean? Well, just what it says. Savior, deliverer. He will save his people from their sins. You know, the people of that day, they weren't looking for one to save them from their sins. They were looking for one to save them from the Romans and to restore the glory of Israel, as they had heard in their past history. But God had something far better in mind when he sent Jesus. He will save his people from their sins. Who has John chapter 4? Again, a very familiar story to us. It's the story of the woman at the well and how Jesus came and ministered to her, took time out. I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because there's someone there who's thirsty. There's someone there who's longing and trying to fill that longing. And so what does it say there? John 4, 40 to 42. Who wants to read that to us?
So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world.
Hallelujah. Christ, the Savior of the world. I think one of the most quoted verses in Scripture, it's translated into I don't know how many languages, John 3:16. What does that say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Here's one that comes, and the invitation is for whosoever. Whosoever believes. Whosoever may come. No one is excluded. I think sometimes we exclude people. God never does. And sometimes the people that we exclude, he saves. And we stand back and say, how did that happen? Because it's for whosoever believes. All may come. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, truly, the Samaritan said, this is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Acts 4:12. Well, maybe someone could look at that and read that for us too.
There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved.
Salvation in no one else, no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And so have you experienced that salvation? There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for some, people say, well, all religions lead to God. Have you heard that?
No.
All religions lead to God. We're all just seeking the same thing. And so don't tell me that that my religion is not as good as your religion. And it seems that's the day that we live in. But the Bible, if you believe the Bible, then the Bible says there's no other way. There is no other name. It's through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In John chapter 1, we find John the Baptist. And he is baptizing in the Jordan River, and it says all of Jerusalem, all Judea has come out to him to be baptized of John. And they begin questioning him, and they say, are you the one? Are you the one that we're looking for? Are you the Messiah? Are you the one who was promised to come? And he says, no, I'm just the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And then you know how Jesus appears, and as Jesus is coming, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we know that Jesus came to be that sacrifice, to be that propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that turns aside the wrath of God. He died in our place. He was our substitute. We all, because of our sin, deserve death. The soul that sins, it shall die. But Jesus comes as the perfect sacrifice, as the Lamb of God to take away our sin. Now, what does this mean for us? Now, what I've said, you all know. You've all heard this before. But what does it mean for us? I trust that each one of us has bowed at the cross. But that only happens, and here's my point. It only happens if you see your need. You know, we have lifeguards at the beach. And they're there watching. And maybe the children, the campers, think that their only function is to do buddy call and get us out of the water every 15 minutes or so. And maybe the campers on an average day, don't even know why the lifeguards are there. But if one of them began to drown and began to cry out for help, don't you think they would know if the lifeguard was there or not?
Yes.
Until we are at that place, beloved, where we cry out to God, we see our need, where we see that without Him, we're drowning.
That's right.
If you don't see your need, you're not going to cry out. And the world, for the most part, has been blinded to their need, and we need to pray that God, when we pray for our loved ones, last night we prayed for loved ones who need the Lord. When we pray for our loved ones, we need to ask God to show them their need of Him. And it's not so much about a better life. We're not praying that they have a better life. It's not praying that they're going to get rid of all their problems. It has to go deeper than that. It has to be, Lord, I need You. I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that if I don't call out to You to save me, I'm on my way to hell. That's what the Bible says. Separated from God for all eternity. Is that what God intended when He made us? No. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
Thank you, Lord.
But we need to see our need. Sometimes we feel a longing in our hearts, and instead of turning to God, we fill that longing with other things. And yet the Holy Spirit is faithful, and He draws hearts to Himself. He speaks. He uses people to speak to us, to point us to the cross. How thankful I am for those in my life when I was a little boy who pointed me to Jesus. So I'm thankful that the Lord convicts us of sin. But not only does He convict us of sin, but He shows us that there's one who died to save us, to set us free from the penalty of sin. He took my place so that I could go free. Oh, thank You, Jesus, that Your blood was shed, that You gave Your life, that if I confess my sin, You are faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Oh, Jesus, I need You. Jesus, I need You. Save me. And how do we come? We come in faith. We come believing that he died for me. You know, I don't know how many of you have ever been in a service or been in a place where people were asked to recite a sinner's prayer, so to speak. And I'm not one for necessarily formality or just repeat this and, you know, you're good. But there are some elements of that that are so essential. I think sometimes we tell people, well, just, you know, just come to Jesus and you accept him into your heart and he loves you and you're his child. And those are all true statements. Those are absolutely true statements. But there are also other parts of it that are so essential. First thing, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that without you, there's only judgment and wrath ahead. And there's this element of confession and repentance. You know, I've heard it said, people say to me, we don't have to repent anymore. I mean, these are Christians. These are Christian people who say, you don't have to repent. You see, Jesus paid it all. And there's nothing you can, and if you repent, then you're it's really works. And you can't, that can't be, because it's all of grace. Well, nobody gave Peter the message that that's the way it was. Because he said it's repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance toward God because I've turned my back on him. I've gone my own way. I've turned away from the one who loves me, who made me, and I've done my own thing. And so repentance means that I turn away from my way, as it were, and I turn back to God. Repentance is a wonderful word. Because it puts me face to face with him. Repentance is needed. And so if you've prayed a sinner's prayer that doesn't contain confession or repentance and faith in Christ, then you need to pray it again. Right? He's the one who makes us his children. It's not me. I don't choose to be a child of God. He is the one. The new birth regenerates me and makes me a child of God. So are we clear on what it means to be saved? But there's something yet, and let's just all take our Bibles and I'll close with this. In Romans chapter 8. And here's something that speaks to, I think, all of us in regard to salvation. It says this, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, what does this have to do with salvation? Jesus sets us free from our sin, the penalty of sin. We've accepted him. He's accepted us. We've confessed. We've repented. We've become children of God. Now what? Is he still my Savior? There's a book, I don't know if you've read it before, or and I don't know if I've ever read it all the way through, but there's a book entitled The Christian Secret of a Happy Life. And in that book, there's a chapter that talks about Jesus saving us now, a present salvation. And I want you to write four words down on your paper. Under Romans 8, 1 to 4, I want you to write Jesus, and then under it, saves, and under that, me, now. Up and down, not across, up and down. Jesus saves me now. Say with me. Jesus saves me now. When we sing, Jesus, I need you, or He's all I need, we're not talking about some time in the past, are we? I don't believe we are. I think we're singing that we need Jesus now. And I think we need to realize that Jesus is a present Savior. He saves me now. Jesus, that's the one who saves you. It's not yourself. Jesus doesn't save you, forgive your sins, and then say, okay, now you go out and you kind of try to do the best that you can. Now, He wants to be your Savior today. Jesus, I need you to save me. Now, what is He saving me from? Well, maybe He's saving you from yourself. You need to be saved from yourself? Oh, no, we're all good, right? Someone said your worst enemy is yourself. Our attitudes, our pride, our self-righteousness. Oh, we know what's best. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me how to be a Christian. Jesus wants to save us from ourselves. Our tempers. Anybody have a temper? Don't raise your hand. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, you're here to save me from myself. Someone has said He saves us from not only the penalty of sin, but He saves us from the power of sin. And that's something that He needs to do for us day by day and moment by moment. So I just wanted to fill out that little, Jesus saves me now. Okay, next to Jesus, you can write, He is the one. It's Him, it's Jesus. He is the one. Jesus is my Savior. And then saves me. Yes, He died for the whole world. He is the Savior of the whole world. But you know what? That's a wonderful truth to know. But unless He becomes the Savior of Philip, unless He becomes the Savior of David, unless it's a personal thing, then it really doesn't matter if He saved the whole world, if He hasn't saved you. And me. So He saves me. And I need Him to save me. Today. Now. Jesus saves. Oh, I went to me. I skipped saves. I'm sorry. Saves is what you need. You need to be delivered. You need to be delivered. You know, God is so faithful. There are times He delivers us from things that maybe have bound us. And then a little later He'll show us, you know what? There's something else that I want to work in your life. There's more work that I want to do in you. And so, Jesus, You save me. You deliver me. You set me free. And the last one is now. 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 And the idea there is that it's continual. It's a continual thing. At the bottom of that section it says, salvation is a continual coming of Christ to deliver the soul. And again, just as we said, and I'm going to close with this thought, Just as we said that we needed to see our need of a Savior to free us from the penalty of sin, we need him as a present Savior, and you need to see that need. Again, if you think I'm okay, you know, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm pretty good, I'm not what I used to be, thank God. But he still wants to save us moment by moment, day by day, setting us free from ourself and our sin. And so I'm so thankful that this Savior came and that he's with me today. Do you know that Jesus is here? Do you know that Jesus is in you? Did you know that he is your life? The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes me what? Free from the law of sin and death. That power has been broken. And how is it broken? By the life of the Son of God. He is in you as your very life. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to confess. Now, we don't confess necessarily our sins. Yes, if we fall, we confess our sins. But we don't have to go back and keep rehearsing the past sins and confessing them to God and somehow feel that that's the way to improve or to be contrite. But if we would just acknowledge and confess that Jesus, you live in me, and Jesus, you save me now, we would find that there would come a life within that would make us overcomers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're going to sing together in closing, Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 31. Let's stand as we sing.
Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full. Is my all in all I need, all I need. While he keeps, I cannot fall. He is all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure. And power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all I need. Glory, glory to the Lamb, all I need, by his Spirit sealed up. And power, holiness forevermore, my redemption full and sure, he is all I need. power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure, He is all I need. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we take, Lord Jesus, you are all I need. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior, wonderful Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Denise, pray with us, please. Hallelujah.
Lord, we do thank you that you have taken the place as our great high priest and you have opened the way for us, Lord. We're so thankful for this salvation, this complete salvation that you have purchased for each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you for the words that we've heard today, and I just pray that this day your Holy Spirit would take that word,
yes,
and really,
Lord,
help it to come to life within us, Lord. Give us an understanding and an appreciation,
yes, Lord,
for all that you have done for us to purchase this salvation, Lord, and all that it entails, Lord, and the blessings that are ours, Lord. Give us a greater understanding of the blessings that are ours as a result of you going forth as our great high priest. And Lord, I just pray that you be with us this day. I thank you for
Lord,
all who have heard the call to serve on the campgrounds. And Lord, I just pray that we would sense your strengthening this day among us, Lord.
Yes,
strengthen
Lord.
Each one who is working, Lord. You see how they come tired and we live busy lives. But God, you are able to refresh and restore,
yes, Lord,
and renew.
Yes, Lord.
And so we pray
take
that you do
life.
That, Lord. Especially for the young people who are serving, Lord. We thank you for them and that they have chosen to be here.
Yes,
and
Lord.
And I pray by your Spirit you would refresh them in ways beyond their expectation. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now just say to the person next to you, Jesus saves me now. Amen. And walk in that victory today. God bless you.